Chicago with a late touchdown won 47-42 at Cincinnati. NBA wins for Oklahoma City and the Lakers. Kyle Larson won NASCAR's season title.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics. With the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome in to a Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Phone lines are open 205-342-9904 if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. Download that app, the Tide 100.9 app. You can get that on your smartphone and take us with you anywhere you go. Also have a button there where you can send an app message to all the shows. You can do that. We can read those over the air. If you want to email us, that's easy. wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the 5-star backyard, and Yellowwood is the only choice, go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. And always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How was the weekend?
Pretty good. How
were you? Get some candy. Halloween in our neighborhood was absolutely insane, but we survived. So, good morning, Dad. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. For our listeners, I do want to announce, and Barry knows it as well, is Brian Harden, who is one of our sponsors, or one of our big sponsors, a friend of mine, and David's is brother, had a massive heart attack last night and passed away at 10:30, around 10:30. I texted him and Barry did too, and really a sad deal. I'm sure sorry. He done a lot of great things. Good friend of Coach Saban's as well. That doesn't mean anything, but just to lose anybody like that at a decently early age is too bad. So the Brian Harden thing, our listeners need to know that, so went ahead and
Brian was a big fan of the station here. I know he advertises with us. He does with Christian Miller and with Ryan Fowler from 2 to 6. So he's been a good friend to this show, and it's just a tragic weekend for the Harden family. So the prayers go out to those guys.
I indicated this the other day, and I didn't really say it, but DJ Durkin will finish the season for Auburn now that they've let Hugh out. People like to see people fired for some reason. I don't know why, but they do. Everybody gets, talks about it all the time, but I don't know what chances he'll have to get the job. There's a lot of people that are interested, interested in the job, from Jimbo to James Franklin, people like that. But DJ will take it over. And, of course, they go to Vanderbilt this week. And they play Alabama. And a few more games left. So we'll see exactly what happened. A lot of coaching changes. I don't never tell you anything for sure, but I will tell you for sure that Lane Kiffin will not be the coach at Auburn. So he probably I thought he was going to stay all along at Florida myself. At Ole Miss myself. I guess if he had a choice to go somewhere, he might go to LSU, but I think I don't have any idea about that. Anyway, that's what happened. And Dabo ripped the officials, tried to tell everybody what a good job he had done, which he has, in losing a fourth game. So hard on him to some degree, athletic director was there listening. So Mike Shula was moved off the offensive as the offensive caller of games. They couldn't score down the stretch, and he was moved away from South Carolina. Put somebody else in there. So a lot of things, you know, a lot of things happen in sports. It's quite different to see what's going to happen. Georgia, Mississippi State's not a very big game, but certainly A&M and Missouri could be a big game this weekend with a, I think, 6.5-point favorite. A&M is, and the Auburn game is, the last I looked, was 7.5. I guess somewhere close to being correct. With Alabama, a 10.5-point favorite over LSU, which we'll see what happens there. So those are some of the things that happened over the weekend. Mike Norvell is still holding on to his job at Florida State. Players like him. So we're going to have a lot more people, 88 out the gate. And we welcome your calls as to who's going to be the coach at Auburn. Really doesn't matter right now. I would say if DJ won every game and just beat the crap out of everybody, he might get the job. But Jimmy hadn't told me that, but I don't know that. That's about it.
I just don't get why we've gotten to the trend now of just absolutely destroying coaches and firing them with games left on the schedule. I mean, why don't we just put a precedent in there? We let the guys coach out the season and make decisions. They're firing coordinators now in the middle of the season. As you said, Mike Shula fired. There have been several coordinators fired. We got the coach at UAB fired. I don't know. I kind of feel sorry for those guys, to be quite. I know they get a pile of money. I get all that. But I'm not sure why are we firing guys now with 3, 4, and 5 games left on the schedule. I'm talking about guys that started the season. I mean, James Franklin, I mean, they were ranked in the top 5. I just don't understand.
They got beat without him.
Do what?
They got beat without him as well.
What is the trend now? Isn't this a bad trend we're getting to now to where the fans can complain and then we just fire the guy? Now, I'm not saying Hugh Freeze, let him coach out the season. And just fire him at the end of the season. Why are we doing it now is what I don't understand.
I don't think that's funny. It's a funny thing. You know, I'm not care about blue plate. I lost it. But all Georgia's got to do is step in the end zone. Blue plate's one. He holds up on that and doesn't do that. And the other thing, the Texas and Vanderbilt game, Texas got the big lead. If you're betting on Vanderbilt, you say, "Well, I shouldn't have said anything about that Vanderbilt game." Lo and behold, Texas gives that one up. The way Mississippi State gave up against Texas and came back, Vanderbilt wasn't the line on that game. So we've got crazy games, and this is, you know, the two teams in the state that we talk about the most, with LSU coming in with all the mess that they're involved in, will be very interesting. A double-digit favorite by Alabama, and then for people to drive from Auburn and down in Alabama all the way to Nashville to see the Vanderbilt game against a team that, and the Vanderbilt coach, actually I didn't name all of them, is one that's also mentioned, you know, as possible replacement of somebody. So we're just switching around, as Barry's talked about, just switching around from place to place, and it's a money factor, and you're giving up a lot of money that you could buy players with.
Here's a crazy stat about the Iron Bowl. This is the 7th year in a row that it has a different coaching matchup. All right, 2019, Saban versus Malzahn. 2020, Saban gets COVID. Can't coach the game. Sarkisian coached against Malzahn. 2021, Saban versus Harsin. 2022, Saban versus Cadillac. 2023, Saban versus Freeze. 2024, DeBoer versus Freeze. And 2025 will be DeBoer versus Durkin. So for seven straight years, we've had a different guy coaching in this particular game that wasn't the head coach or whatever. So that tells you right there all you need to know. Something's wrong with that Auburn job. I mean, ain't nobody winning down there. So at some point, they got to look around. And I think Martin, I was listening to him, he made a pretty good point. He said, I think we put so much emphasis on the head coach. But, man, who you can hire as coordinators and all is so big. And he referenced Dabo losing Venables, and he lost that guy to Virginia in his – program's gone down, so you got to have good assistants.
Yeah, your general manager is big now.
Yeah,
the general manager is a person that takes the flack, not the flag, but the information from his other nine assistant coaches as to who they think they can get and how good they think the kid is. And when you make choices of quarterbacks that, and you miss on them, you're in bad shape, and that's what Auburn has done. They have not had a quarterback that's going to take them anywhere, and they thought they had somebody when they went to Oklahoma. So,
I don't know that I would worry about getting one of these big name coaches. I'd spend a lot of my money on who can we get as coordinators on both sides. Let's pay them more. Stop paying the head coach to $10 million and pay a head coach $5 million, and let's get us a couple of coordinators and pay them $3 million. The best in the business. I don't know if you could get them or not, but I might look at something like that as opposed to going out and giving some guy a $10 million contract and end up having to pay him off. I mean, all these teams are not going to win. So it's just, but now that we can just fire guys in the middle of the season, it's just crazy to me. All right, we'll take the first break. We'll get to Phillip when we get back. Two-minute truck, they're out at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. If the professionals handle it, they'll take great care of you and all of your stuff. Give them a call today, 205-247-5050. That is 2 minute truck, movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. University of Alabama defensive back Trey Kirkpatrick Jr. is free from jail this morning on a $1,500 bond. That's after his arrest over the weekend. Authorities allege the Gadsden native is guilty of reckless endangerment, attempting to elude, and speeding, and according to jail records. His father also played for Bama and in the NFL. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media. Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we got our hands full now as we approach your prime time. Looking at 2059, watch out for an accident on the eastbound lanes just before Buttermilk Road, and then a secondary accident on the westbound lanes right around Skyland Boulevard.
Hey, with just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches and pains hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside
patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today, the high in the mid-60s, around 64. Clear and cool tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow, sunny with a high at 71. Wednesday and Thursday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home. 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I just think you got to have You think without Ryan Grubb, this is a hypothetical, but would Alabama won all these games, Dad? I mean, getting a really elite coordinator is a humongous help to these head coaches. I don't think Auburn ever, they never could solve the offensive side of football, and I think they just had too many people in there and just never worked. Coach DeBoer goes out and brings Ryan Grubb back, I think it's made a humongous difference for this offense, and probably they won a couple of games maybe they wouldn't have with him here and his critical calls.
Yeah, I think so. I think calling again, of course, your players win the game.
Sure.
You got to get in the right spot, but players win and lose games. But I think certainly Alabama's deficient somewhat, as people think, in the running game, and they've been able to run the right stuff at the right time, which is quite unusual for people to be pleased at Alabama with the offensive coordinator.
I think the players obviously win the game. They keep it close, but then if they keep it close, then coaching decisions down the stretch are huge factors in these games, making the right calls, having the right personnel in there. Have you practiced your two-point conversions, things like that. I think that's where coaching comes in.
Run the play and throw the pass and it's wide open. He drops it.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying these players keep it close, but coaching does factor into these things down the stretch when the game's tight like that.
Sure does.
All right, get to the Yellowwood Highline. What's up, Phillip?
Hey, good morning, my friends, and Coach Sanderson. I think that the LSU game this weekend is going to be another in a long line of tough ball games. Nussmeier and might be the best passer Alabama's faced this year, next to Aguilar. Aguilar may be better, but it's close between the two. So they've got a good passing attack, and he'll put a lot of pressure on Alabama. So this game is going to be very tough. Alabama's got to be very careful, and Alabama's got to score points. They've got to score points. But I will say this. I'm going to be the only guy in the state to do it, and I live in Lynette and work in LaGrange, but I'm going to call it right now. Mississippi State's going to upset Georgia.
You think so? That game's in Starkville, our line currently 7.5, Georgia. Why do you say that?
I feel like the Starkville element's going to be pretty good right now. They won that big game last week. They're going to have some excitement. But if you look at Mississippi State, they had Florida beat. They had Texas beat. They lost those games, I know. But I think this is a pretty good football team, and I think they're going to be one of the best offenses Georgia will have faced this year. And I think if you can put a high-pressure offense against this particular Georgia team, you got a really good shot at winning. So I think Mississippi State's going to upset Georgia.
Huh. 11 o'clock kick at Mississippi State, obviously, on ESPN. The other games for the weekend, the Citadels at Ole Miss as long as they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a pretty favorable schedule. Texas A&M travels to Missouri. That's an interesting game. A&M's a 6.5-point favorite there. Auburn goes up to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I know the game they scored some, but Pavia is so short. I don't know, man. He's okay. I think Auburn had a chance up there. LSU, Alabama, Bama's 10.5, then Florida and Kentucky. Florida, I thought Florida played well against Georgia.
I really don't know why Florida lost this past week. I mean, I can go back and look, but, that game was there for the taking for Florida, and they just couldn't make some plays down the stretch.
Now, when did we get to the point, and I was with Dad's blue plate, he had it at 7 or 7.5 or whatever. Guy's got a clear touchdown. He kneels down at the one. They run the clock out.
I don't understand that.
You're going to go up 10 if you go in. So, but the Oklahoma one, it was like a 2-point game, and that guy goes down there, he drops it to one. Now, if they fumble that ball when they run it in the next play, but if they fumble it going in or something, I don't understand why you don't take the touchdown if it puts you up more than eight. Why you wouldn't take the touchdown? When do we start falling down at the 1 yard line?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm with you on that. Well, I would like to ask you guys one thing, and I've got an opinion on this, and I know you do. Wimps made his statement a minute ago about Auburn not hiring Kiffin. Why would they not want to reach out to him, though? They may not hire him. I understand that. I understand it. But why would he not be a top candidate for them?
Because of the money, people who don't like him. And because of the people who have worked for him who are now working at Auburn and despise him. That's your answer.
Yeah, I don't know this, that obviously everything he says there is, I'm sure, 100% correct. Also, they probably feel like he played them last time. He acted like he was going to go. He got more money at Ole Miss, and then he was never going. His family situation. So they probably feel like they got played a little bit, too, to be honest with you, Phillip. So.
Well, that's fine. That's just what I wanted to know. I wanted to know legitimately why they would not talk to him, and that you know, I can go with that. It will be interesting to see what happens. A lot of little holes to be filled, and I think some will start getting filled Thanksgiving. I really do. They're just about going to have to start filling some of these holes around Thanksgiving, I would think.
They're probably already filled. What do you think Kiffin's going to do? I think he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to stay at Ole Miss or go to LSU.
I think he'll stay. He's going to be in the playoffs, so he's going to be. I mean, they're going to be deep into the coaching hire. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to hire him, you're going to have to wait until January to hire him. I don't think he can leave Ole Miss till the season's over. He's got the Citadel, Florida at home, and he's at Mississippi State. And so he got a good chance to go 11-1. And so.
Well, what do you think Auburn will do?
That I have no idea that.
They'll go with DJ to the end of the season, and then I don't know. I think it'll be the two fractions that they have. Both fractions have money, and if the two fractions can get together, if it's five guys on one fraction, five guys on the other fraction, and they can get together, they'll buy the coach if they can win. But I can't answer that about. Per se, I think DJ takes it until it's over with, and then they have somebody in mind. I'll try to find. I didn't want to make a call last night because I didn't think it was quite fair to try to call him. You know, I got some little bit of pull down there. I just didn't want to do it last night because I don't think he needed himself.
I mean, why is the job not any? The job's not very good right now. Why? I mean, no, but they got like how many losing seasons is in a row?
Right. Well, the last two hires have been a complete disaster.
But why is Hugh Freeze a disaster? Why was he a disaster?
Players, quarterback.
But he recruited. I mean, he was recruiting at a high level. He got the best receiver. They talk about they had the best receiving. I mean, I know the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I get that. But why?
Well, the numbers show it. I mean, that's what they looked at. But I tell you, I hope Alabama has seriously taken this LSU game seriously. I know they're in a little bit of a turmoil down there right now that can sort of overshadow the ball game itself. But this is going to be a really tough ball game. The line on that surprised me a little bit. That's kind of high.
About 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about right, probably. They they can't protect that quarterback. Now, we'll see if they can. He gets hit a lot. But I thought that interim coach for Florida, I thought he did a good job. I liked Kirby when he interviewed him after the game. He talked about the former coach and what a great roster he had there and how tough they were. So he gave gave him the credit.
Well, the unknown Saturday night is going to be the post-Brian Kelly LSU Tigers. And you got to feel like they're going to come into that game loose as a goose and ready to play some football and upset Alabama. So not that they wouldn't anyway, but they may be in a better place mentally than we think they are. Well,
defensive coordinator Georgia is going to get a job.
Shulman
is going to get a job.
Yeah.
I don't know that Ryan Grubb, not that he's not going to get one of these SEC jobs, but Ryan Grubb will be probably hot on some jobs maybe out west or whatever. So anyway, thank you, Philip.
Thank y'all.
All right, Thomas Rib Shack, get your soul food fix. Eat at Thomas Rib Shack for barbecue and local soul food right here located in Tuscaloosa. Go to the website, thomasribshack.com. They got great sides, so you can roll in there for lunch. They open up at 10:30, and you can get great sides, great barbecue, great fish, great chicken. So swing by there if you want to do a catered deal this weekend for the Alabama football game, night games. It'll be great. Deal to pick up some catering, take it out there on the quad, 205-759-5010. Go to the website, thomasribshack.com. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we got our hands full now as we approach your prime time. Looking at 2059, watch out for an accident on the eastbound lanes just before Buttermilk Road, and then a secondary accident on the westbound lanes right around Skyland Boulevard.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today, the high in the mid-60s, around 64. Clear and cool tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow sunny with a high at 71. Wednesday and Thursday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Former assistant football coach at Florida State Ole Miss. Was a radio personality throughout the South. Joins us every Monday, Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How y'all this morning?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Max, give us your inside. You always got inside stuff, especially on Ole Miss. Give us your inside stuff on who might take the Auburn job. I said Lane Kiffin's only going to go to LSU or stay home. Give us the might. Our listeners are dying for might.
I will say the Florida job's going to be his if he wants it. That's up to him. They've already released all the information to go. I've been pretty close to the Florida people for the last month now. I mean, like daily. And I'm bringing them some information from Ole Miss. And Lane, only reason Lane won't leave Ole Miss is because of the family situation. It's not about the money. It's not about control. I mean, he's already got full control of the program all there. He don't answer to anybody but the president. And that's what he wants. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, he's smarter than 90% of everybody else in the program. I mean, he's proven that on the field. Tell me somebody else has built a program at a place like Ole Miss in the last 50 years. They don't have the money. They don't have the reach. They don't have the recruiting base in the state. I mean, it's just, if you look at it inside, he'll either stay there or I think take the Florida job. I think that's what will happen. Now, let's jump to the Auburn situation. Auburn, for some reason, guys, how many coaches and how many administrators have they been through? How many college presidents have they been through in the last 10 years? Well, I know they've been through three presidents already. They still don't have one. So there's something inside over there that's not, you know, that's not on the same page. I don't know whether groups are, you know, little independent groups trying to make decisions, either trying to buy their way in or what. But did you guys remember when Bobby Lauder was in charge? Nobody liked Bobby very well, but he was smart enough and rich enough to get the job done with the right people when he brought Pat Dye in. And I think that's what I was looking for, you know, again. But you tell me, you guys are out there, you know the players that's going, you know, who could they get right now that could step in that situation and rehab it? And will the people internally turn something over to him, to somebody that's capable of building it? You know, we all know about Jimbo Fisher. We know about the other candidates out there. But, you know, you go back, look, Jimbo won one championship at Florida State because of Bobby Bowden. That's all. Did he do very much at Texas A&M? Why, no. Will he do much if he comes to Auburn? No. It's just a matter of, you've got to look further than just the person individually. You got to explore where he's been, what he's doing, and, you know, and how that's going to affect your fan base. And, you know, it's one thing when you lose some support inside, but when your stadium starts walking out, when your fan base starts walking out like they did at Auburn the other night, yeah, you got a problem. The school's got a problem right then with the leadership. I don't know how to change that.
If he won the last games, could Durkin do it?
See, we don't know yet. We don't know that.
I'm just going to give my
opinion. I don't think you guys will agree. Auburn needs somebody that could come in there, just like Alabama did when they brought Coach Saban. Find somebody that you got confidence in and give him the program and give him the money and give him 3 years and tell him up front it's 3 years. And we're going to evaluate you every year. They can't just keep piling on for 4 and 5 and 6 year contracts with huge buyouts. How many people are they still paying? Well, they're still paying. I'm sure they're still paying Gus. They're going to have to pay Freeze. Put a pencil on how much money Hugh Freeze has made since he's been there, including his buyout. Guys, it's over $30 billion. And I'm just telling you, until somebody gets a handle on personality versus money in a program that needs rebuilding, I don't think they're going to do anything. If they've got two or three groups that's trying to make, you know, basically trying to make decisions on coaches, they're not going to do anything. Why did they step up when Coach Saban announced that he was going to retire, knowing Auburn was where they were? Why did they bring everything together and go after somebody that could compete and build a program? And I knew then, when they didn't do that, they just kind of sat back and went along with what was going on. They don't have any major leadership inside.
You got to be able to hire elite coordinators. You look at Ryan Grubb back in here, and I think he's helped Alabama win a couple of these close games based on his calls and those things. And what was the backstory on Bo Wallace and Hugh Freeze? Bo Wallace said 2 years ago, terrible hire. Hugh Freeze is lazy. He won't be there but a couple of years, and he'll be out of there. And he was 100% right. What was the backstory between Bo and Hugh Freeze?
It wasn't just Bo Wallace. It was anybody that knows inside about the program.
Well, how come Auburn, the administrators, don't know this before they hire him?
Because they're too concerned about having the control, to keep the control. They're not going to hire. Whoever's in charge is not going to hire a coach and turn the whole thing over. I know you watch everything that Coach Saban has said since he's retired. And I just looked at a review that after he retired, somebody was questioning him about this very thing, not at Auburn, but about other schools. And he said, when I applied for a job, I told him I don't want input from the president. I don't want input from the booster club. It's my program. I'm not going to ask anybody what to do. You turn it over to me, and I'll run it. Until Auburn gets somebody like that and willing to pay them, then they're going to stay right where they are. It's the track record's already there.
Leopard doesn't change his spots very often, I'm telling you.
But who is that? Who is that? I mean, they're not going to get Kiffin. Who is that? I mean, Alabama was desperate, so they went to Miami and they got Nick Saban. They gave him $4 million, which was unheard of back then. He had no, and they put no buyout. Just said, here's $4 million, and whatever you want, you got it. But there are not many Nick Sabans running around, to be honest with you, Max.
But you know what? We don't know that. We know where they are, and you don't know the circumstances that they're in. There's somebody out there that could do probably close to what Coach Saban did in the right circumstance. But you got to go through. You got to find. You got to have a search committee that says, "Hey, my school is ready to do that. Here's the money we've got to do that. We've got to interview, do background checks, find somebody that is capable." But guys, once they hire them, they got to turn them loose and let them do it.
Yeah.
That's why. But you got to have a solid committee, and you got to have the inside help to make that thing work. And I just don't believe Auburn's got that right now. The evidence is there.
Yeah.
You know. How do you keep – go back and look at the last three or four coaching changes. How did they get the guy from – the green guy from Buffalo to come down as athletic director? Then he disappeared. Nobody understands. I mean, just look at what they've done historically. Knowable history is a great predictor of the future. And as long as they looking like they're looking right now, I'm just going to applaud them for what they do and say, hey, good luck. You're going to be a 6-7 win team every year.
I don't want to put
you on the spot. Is anybody that you like, particularly just a name that you like or two names that you like in the coaching field, or had you rather not answer that?
I think what they need to do is go to somewhere that's a constant winner. Go to Ohio State. Go somewhere that they've got a coordinator. Okay. Even to the NFL. Go to some of those top programs in the NFL and find a coordinator that's had basic organization skills. And it's not so much it's an organization problem that you got to have somebody that's smart enough can sit back and look at the big picture. And when they find a weakness, they got the liberty and the money to go get the weakness. That's what they did. That's why Kiffin's doing so well. They turned the whole program over to him. He answers to one guy, and that's the president. And he don't even go to him half the time. He just makes the decision. But you got to get to that point with the right guy. See, Pat Dye had that same position at Auburn when he was there, but he earned that on the way up. The fans have to get, they're going to have to get used to that. They're going to have to get settled in. But the track record is already there at Auburn. But whoever they bring in, guys, I'm telling you, it's going to be an uphill job because they're accustomed to doing something, one way. But when you sit back and look at the way it's been, it hasn't been successful. So you got to change. And that has to come internally with a group that said, hey, we're going to turn the keys over to you, but we're not going to give you a 4-year contract with a $100 million buyout. We're going to give you maybe a 3-year contract. We're going to evaluate you every year. Now, that'll cut down on some coaches, but you're good young coaches that know themselves. Guys, they'll find somebody that can take that job under those conditions.
We're talking about Max Howell. Max, I give him a lot of credit. They were lucky to win at Mississippi State. But he never wavered on Manning. He kind of stuck with him, kept coaching him. All the outside noise was absolutely destroying the kid. I know I was probably too hard on him as well. But against Vanderbilt, man, he looked pretty good. So the experience there has really helped him. He sprayed the ball around, I think, 10 different receivers, got it out there. That game was not near as close as the score indicates. Texas dominated that football game from start to finish, to be quite honest with you. I thought Arch looked good. So give Arch and Sark a little credit there for just staying with it and developing over these last few games.
See, I'm not sure that Sarkisian didn't have the same situation in Texas to some degree that Auburn did have. I mean, go back and think about it. How many national championships have they won in the last 20 years? One. I mean, you tell me how somebody can stay in the job 16 years in a place like Texas where you've got all the money in the world and all the recruiting in the state of Texas to draw from, and you win one national championship. There's some group problems that he's got,
You know the rumor's out that, you know, he may end up going to Nashville to the pro team, the Titans. That rumor's pretty heavy right now, particularly in the NFL. So if that's the case, that means the Texas job is going to be open. And then it'll be really interesting to see how they handle that, if that be the case. And if I was Auburn, I would certainly watch that blueprint uncover. They'll find somebody that can operate under their rules. They got enough money they can afford to make all their rules. Auburn's money's going to run out of cash, I think, very soon if they keep making the same mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, give him credit for what he's doing. I don't take anything away from that. But it's, you can look at him and see him on the sideline. Guys, that's an uphill battle for him every day. I guarantee you. Somebody's leading on him every day about do this or do that or take this kid or don't take this kid. I'm telling you, just the day-by-day operations from people that they think they're on your side or you think they're on your side to help build a program, all they're interested in the power of help making decisions.
I think you're right. I think if I were LSU, I'd make a call to him. Because those guys get sick of that. These guys behind the scene trying to tell you what you can and can't do, and just and jump and go somewhere. And I think LSU would probably give him the keys to the program. But Scott Woodward, I mean, he's made good hires there. You got Mulkey, you got the baseball coach, and then all of a sudden that governor. My gosh, does he understand college athletics? That governor needs to shut his mouth, Max. He made their job very difficult trying to hire a coach with his mouth. That whole situation is crazy.
If I had to guess, that's the reason he did, obviously, is because they don't have a president right now. But I'm not real sure, because they don't have a president, it's not maybe because of him. I mean, he can stop any of that by appointment of Board of Trustees. By having that Board of Trustees before every decision, call his office and find out, you know, I got you. You appointed me to this position. Tell me how you want me to vote. I mean, it goes all the way to the top in everywhere. Some people search for that power, want that power. But that behind the scenes, guys, I'm telling you, I left Ole Miss. I'll tell you this: I left Ole Miss for that very reason. I could have stayed there till nobody had committed there and organized. I was the first guy they ever hired in an administrative position over there in that athletic department that was not an Ole Miss graduate. And I can tell you some details that I saw that I couldn't stay there at that particular time. And sure enough, guess what? It all came to the surface, and they were on the verge of not only being on probation, but shutting down the athletic program. That's how close it was. When I went to Atlanta, I left Ole Miss, went to Atlanta to do radio. I got a call once a week from the NCAA and the SEC office. Want me to review and release every bit of information I knew. I would never have done that. It never did. I just waved it off and went on. But the fact is, every school has got some of that going on. It's just more prevalent than in some schools than it is other. And Auburn right now is surfaced by they have not accomplished in the last 10 years in the people they brought in. That's your evidence every Saturday afternoon.
Well, I don't really have anything I think we've got a couple of listeners think Alabama's head coach might leave sometime. I think he's there to stay. I think because they won the close games this time,
right?
You know, the close ones. They were very, very fortunate that South Carolina fumbled. That he's in great shape.
Well, I don't disagree. I think that bringing Grubb back was by far the best situation that Alabama could have had. I mean, he's worked with him before with the board. He understands it. And I think the board knew that. And I think I don't think that's unusual when two people have worked together a long time and had success. And if you go back and look at it, he was successful in every move. And he didn't make just a huge jump like Napier did, coming from Louisiana school to a Florida school.
Yeah.
I coached against that guy. I knew exactly that he would never make it in Florida. It said so. But they turned the keys over to him, and he proved that he couldn't. He wouldn't hire an offensive coordinator. And, you know, he wanted to impress everybody with what he knew. And basically, Hugh Freeze did the same thing. He would not bring somebody else in that would
take that program and him turn the offense over to him and let him manage, and you know, and they can have meetings about all this. I'm just, guys, the internal, and you, I mean, you guys have been on coaching staff. Y'all know, y'all been head coaches. Y'all understand that you got to have a vision, you got to have confidence, and you got to have support internally to build a program at that level. And some schools are allowed to do that, and some schools aren't. And Auburn's done nothing to show me that they're willing to turn loose whatever internal makeup they've got to hire somebody and turn the reins over to them to build a program.
The committee will put their first poll out, I guess, tomorrow.
Right.
Max, I mean, Ohio State, they've played two top 20 teams, two top 25 teams. Their schedule is, I mean, the rest of the way, they got Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and Michigan. Right. That's pitiful. I think the committee's got, they can't rank them number one. Now, they may do it. They probably will. But they have played, okay. They did beat Texas. I get that. But, I mean, if strength of schedule is a factor, then there's no way. They play Grambling in Ohio. I think you got to put Texas A&M or even maybe Indiana's been impressive. I mean, I know people say they blow you out when they play you. So at least they have looked impressive. Will Ohio State be number one, though, tomorrow when they put the poll out?
No doubt about it. But the reason is they got to judge them. I know it's on the street, the schedule, and that could be the out-of-conference games, but they can't take away their conference games no matter how bad the conference is. You can't diminish what they've done because they beat the teams in their conference. If they're, you know, it's no different than Alabama, you know, when Vanderbilt was at the bottom and Alabama was playing schools like that in the conference, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, those kind of schools, they can't take away those victories because of strength of schedule. They have to evaluate because they're in the conference. Now, they can look at the out-of-conference games. And if they've got too many, you know, two or three that's loaded up that are way down below, they can take away some points there. But the situation is, I'm all in favor of strength of schedule. Don't get me wrong, because I've seen, like I said, I've used that same situation that the Napier going to Florida was a mistake major because he was successful at a lower level. DeBoer has some of that, but DeBoer didn't take a huge jump from a lower Division One school all the way to the top. He built it all the way up the ladder. And each stop he made was a little, the schedule was a little tougher for him, and he still won. That's one set of rules. But the fact is, guys, when you make a huge jump like Napier did, I knew he was over his head. I mean, when I was at Troy, we played those guys, and we beat them. But I told you before, when I coached on the national championship team down there, and I went to Florida State. It was like daylight and dark. I mean, the minute you walk out of the door, somebody's got a microphone in your face wanting to get a comment about you, about your program. And we were number one in the country when I first got there. We could lose that first ball game. That was in 1987. Lose that first ball game, and I'm telling you, it was we worked pretty hard, and we won 11 in a row after that. But the fact is, it's all – at the level you're in and the condition you find yourself in at that individual school makes the difference in the programs. In Ohio State, Dave's got full control of that program right now, and he's going to win it, and he's probably going to win another national championship.
But why would Indiana not be ranked ahead of them? I mean, they got a more impressive one. They went to Oregon and won. They've won all their Big Ten games. Why is that not more impressive?
Here's what, in my opinion, will happen. Indiana's going to be there, but they don't have a track record, first of all. Is this just one time out of a 20, you know, that you're going to get them there? Let them play each other. Let's evaluate them head-to-head. So the way they rank them, the way they get them ranked, they can work that out for them. I don't know. I don't have all the schedule in front of me right now to see. On 1, 2, 3, we'll know tomorrow night with the first, I think, when the first schedule comes out on how the committee feels about it. But I think at this particular time, Barry, that's a valid question. And I think the committee will try to, you know, solve it for the fan base. They'll try to work those two up. And if they don't beat early on, both of them get in the playoffs, they don't beat early on,
they'll work it out so they get a chance to beat before the championship game.
Yeah. Dabo, what are you saying?
Each one of y'all give Dabo $5,000, you and Barry, because he got fined $10,000 after he said what a great job he had done with the team, and they had done it. It's true. He won the championship a bunch of times in a week lead, probably, but right. And then the officials put the screws to him, and so they fined him today $10,000. Well, Dabo, I don't think Dabo would leave Clemson.
No, I don't think so. But you know what? Think about it, Coach. How you score 45 points and still get beat? Now think about that. It's quite too many times that you score that much. So you got some deficiency in your program. And I think what has happened, he's built that thing because of his competition in the ACC, that, you know, they went out and did some things and brought some kids in, and he had a great, you know, great program. He's either made some wrong decisions in hire, or he's gotten so full of himself that he doesn't think that he thought he could out-coach everybody else. The talent on his team was better than, but you know, we found out that they lost that opening ball game, and they lost what they lost three or four now. The evaluation that those guys have on the inside obviously is the determining factor, but the fact is the way you handle that. And I've heard him, you know, I heard him say before in his interviews that, you know, nobody's going to fire him up there. His decision will be if he wants to walk away. So that tells you that he's got the connections with the inside people because they have one. Now you can only ride alone. You let him go another year with the same situation. He won't work the portal. I'm gonna tell you that. I believe he took three or four kids at the beginning of this year out of the portal. That's the first time he's ever taken anybody on a transfer situation. He's relied on the high school kids. That day's over. And if he's gonna compete. Yeah. So, you know,
Oklahoma State and Auburn and Clemson are all just alike. Those three.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State down the drain. Yeah. Yeah. Down the drain. Auburn's down the drain. Clemson hung in there. Those three land grant schools that, for some reason, fans love the land grant schools. Ain't no doubt about it.
That is true. It's going to take internal decisions to change that. And some guys, you know, man, it's almost like politics. Once somebody gets in a position of power, they don't want to give it up. And college campuses are just as bad as any kind of national politics you want to be involved in.
Max, the blue plate has struggled this year. He had Georgia minus -7. The guy is headed to the end zone. He's going to finally win one. He is so excited. And the guy hits a knee on the two. And why do you not take the touchdown, Max? It puts you up 10. Oklahoma did the same thing. That guy went down on the one. If they fumble the next ball, then they – why are we not taking touchdowns when we can go up 10? I don't get it.
He found out I had a bet on the game.
The blue plate, he had it. He had both arms in the air, and the quarterback just dropped right on the two. How many people were – they were throwing stuff everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, they lost millions. The guys that bet on that game lost millions when he dropped.
Somebody won because of that. So it's –
somebody lost because of it.
Yeah, well, they're going to lose. If he went in the end zone, then the other side was going to lose. So, I don't know. It's crazy. All right, Max, what's for supper?
All right, man, I did tell you a good one this week. I cooked a 10-pound deer roast it's in the oven first. I wrapped it in tin foil, basted it in olive oil and mushrooms and onions. And then in the last hour, I took the tin foil off. And I cooked it and rebased it in a salt and vinegar base, made a crust on it. I had a great deer roast out of that. I had potato salad, had deviled eggs, green beans. And for dessert, we had homemade fried pies covered in honey. You think about that.
Sounds good. All right, Max. No telling what'll happen this week. We'll talk to you about it next week with you. Thanks, sir.
Thanks,
I'll be right here.
Thank you, guys. Whenever you like, David.
I got, let me tell you something. I got a whole bunch of new meat that you got to. I go give to you.
Oh yeah. What kind of meat?
Steak.
What kind of meat?
Steak.
Oh yeah.
Big steak.
Where'd you get it?
One of the coaches said to me, it's big time stuff. And you know I don't cook.
Yeah. I'll cook it and bring it to you. All right, we'll take this top of the hour break. Dial us up, 205-342-9904. We got Doug Bell at 8:15. I was just peeking at Doug's picks. Get us a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Buffalo Bills beat Kansas City on Sunday, 28-21. Over 100 yards rushing for James Cook and quarterback Josh Allen had three total touchdowns. Wins for the Rams, for Jacksonville in overtime, and Seattle won the Sunday night game at Washington, 38-14. Sam Darnold finished 21 of 24 passing, 330 yards, including four touchdown passes on the first four drives. Pittsburgh beat the Colts 27-20. It was 27-10 with under 5 minutes left. Denver has won six in a row after a victory at Houston 18-15 on a field goal on the final play. The Patriots have won six in a row after edging Atlanta 24-23. Carolina won at Green Bay 16-13 on a 49-yard field goal final play. Chicago with a late touchdown won 47-42 at Cincinnati. NBA wins for Oklahoma City and the Lakers. Kyle Larson won NASCAR's season title.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Get ready to zigzag through this accident on McFarland eastbound before Wright's Mine Road. Watch out for this accident. Blocking the left and right lane, the right turn lane is open. But again, you've got to do a lot of maneuvering around to get through all of that. And then we've also got some heavy traffic.
Odds this good. Only at exit 45 of I-20-59, where the excitement never stops and the odds are always in your favor. Bama Entertainment.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside Rocking Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. The tire sale's over, but they got great 2026s right there on the lot. The Toyota Highlander, the RAV4s, the Camrys are absolutely beautiful vehicles. I love that Tacoma. 1.9% APR for the first 36 months right there. The Tundra, beautiful truck, 2.99 APR for the first 72 months. So go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the hotline here and bring Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
We're okay.
I'm doing well. You know, Max, I really look forward to his report on Mondays, and I think he's really good and entertaining. But I disagree with him on the thing about Auburn. And you see it not only at Auburn, but at LSU as well. They have one game on their mind. They build everything off of, can this guy beat Alabama? LSU the same way. They play one game a year. They get fired up to play Alabama. If they play with the same intensity on the rest of the games, they would be undefeated multiple times. Same thing with Auburn. They hired Coach Freeze because he had beat Alabama twice. And they thought that was going to transfer to Auburn and that he would be a driving force to dominate Alabama. And you know, Coach Dye and Coach Saban, they built programs. They didn't build a team to beat one team. They built a program. Coach Saban built a program to be competitive in every game. And that's the way you got to do it. And I disagree. I mean, I agree with Max on saying something behind the scenes is wrong. And I think that's what it is.
Yep.
Well, I think that's true. I think when Pat took the job, I know for a fact they wanted somebody in there that's hard nosed, that's going to bounce them around and make them play or get rid of them. That's because I was kind of with Jimmy, and that he's right. Tom's right. And when Pat came in there, they tried to beat all of them, and he beat most of them. So. They didn't zero in on one game. I think to some degree, Tom's right. Yeah, I do.
Well, I tell you something else, too. You just can't do that. It's almost like you disrespect the rest of the opponents. You got to respect everybody, especially in this day and age, because everybody can kill you. And I think that, and everybody, y'all, I think y'all agree with it. Everybody's got good players now.
Yeah, but it's a fan base that's got unrealistic. Like, somebody's talking about Arkansas. Well, now we should, because we're buying players, we should win 10 games a year. Well, everybody's buying players. So I mean, why are you all of a sudden going to start winning that many more games? Everybody can't win in the SEC. And it's going to be up and down and up and down. And you better have a good quarterback. It's like the NFL now. If you don't have a good quarterback in the NFL, you got no chance.
You're exactly right. The other factor, Tom, is that when they're in the elevator, Pat Dye and Coach Bryant, I know this for a fact, that's right, pretty close. Pat Dye said to him, as soon as this next season, this next game's over, we're going to play our game at home in Auburn. And Coach said, I don't think so. He said, Coach, the contract has run out. We don't have to play in Birmingham. And he didn't. Yeah. My point in making in that is that not only on the field, but he got them where he wanted them off the field to give himself a better chance to win. Did he win all of them? No. But he came pretty close because, you know, he balanced it out. Play, to me, I'm too much basketball. Playing on the home field is big for me. Go ahead.
I agree. I think you're right. And it was monumental for Auburn to get that on campus game. And it forced a change in the way we do things around here. But it also opened the door for change of eventually becoming what we see now. You know what I mean? You could buck the establishment. That's what Coach Dye did, and it worked. But I do think, though, that Auburn and LSU – I wanted to say this about Alabama, too, talking about Coach DeBoer and Ryan Grubb. Yes, it was a big deal to bring Ryan Grubb back to Alabama. He has been a valuable asset. But I also think that the type of offense that they want to run was better suited to a quarterback like Ty than a quarterback like Jalen. And I'm not trying to knock Jalen. My God, he gave us some really great moments and everything like that. But there was two things that just didn't match there. And it was Jalen's style of play and the kind of offense they were trying to run. I do believe that is a key factor in it, our success this year.
Sure it is. But also setting plays up and calling the right plays at the right time and working on – I mean, they were so ready for that two-point conversion. That wasn't the first time they ran. They were prepared. And so Ryan Grubb has them prepared, and they're confident in the plan. And so – you're seeing that this year, that they think they're going to win every close game, and he's been a big help for that.
I agree. See you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. All right, we got to get to break here. So Tony and Bryce, call us back or you can hold. We got to get to Doug Bell. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We got a pretty good gridlock happening on McFarland eastbound at 5th Bryce Mine Road. Now, this accident is going to take up a couple of your lanes. The right turn lane is open. However, that left and right main lane closed, and the backup is going to take you to Lurleen Wallace.
Or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. For more information, visit GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. As we get ready for the season opener for Alabama women's basketball, here are some thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Christy Curry.
So excited for the season ahead, and I think everyone this time of year is tired of practicing, so it's game time, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun to see this team and see how they can continue to evolve.
Yeah, what has changed the most for your team? Where we are now, what has the journey been like for this group?
It's been amazing. You know, we've had a phenomenal summer. Our kids came in and all really, you know, worked at it. And we've been able to build our chemistry, spend a lot of time together on the court, off the court, with development, and just, continue to set the tone with our culture every day. I'm a firm believer that culture doesn't graduate. And from on the court to off the court, it's been fun to see our seven new faces blend in with our eight returnees.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide men's and women's basketball at Coleman Coliseum. The women's game tips off against Stetson at 4 p.m. Central, with coverage on the network starting at 3:45, while the men's team will face North Dakota at 7 p.m. with radio coverage starting at 6. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
To Inside the Locker Room, we'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Also has a podcast, The Old Gab Box. He'll talk to you about that at the end of the segment. Also picks games. We'll see how he did this week. He's over 500 until I tell him what his record is this weekend. Good morning, Doug Bell. How are you, sir?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. Man, guys, I'm excited. Basketball season is here.
It is.
I mean,
What about one more step? One more step, he's in the end zone, and I win.
Coach, Heartbreak City. Heartbreak City, but, hey, that's the life of a, gambler.
Yeah.
You know? It happens.
I think people had that Clemson game won, and all of a sudden they called that interference.
Is that the life of a gambler? One step, and he's going,
It's the life of a prognosticator, Coach. And I'm worried about my man Dabo. He's taking things a little too hard these days.
Give him $10,000.
Yeah, I thought, wow. So they fine the school $10,000. I mean, Dabo could pay that out of his wallet, right?
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Dabo lost those coordinators.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's not quite as good a coach anymore.
Well, and there's no doubt he overvalued his talent. You know, they didn't go in the portal like a lot of schools have to plug certain holes. And he really thought that he had an experienced team coming back, but he overvalued his team. And that's obvious each and every week. Duke has beaten him now back-to-back years, which hasn't happened. You got to go back to 1990, I believe, the last time Duke beat Clemson in back-to-back seasons. So pretty remarkable what's going on at Clemson. And I hope Dabo makes it. I think the world of Dabo. I just think he's never experienced losses like this. And, well, man,
he scored 45 points.
Well, yeah. They had some bad calls. And listen, Hugh Freeze can tell you bad calls happen, but you can't take it back. Yeah. Still an L.
What's happening in the PGA Tour world?
Well, the PGA Tour, they're back in the fold this week, guys. They're in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. There's three events left. It's the Worldwide Technology Championship. And this is a big deal. Obviously, we've talked about it. It's football season, so golf really takes a back seat. But in terms of, you know, we love the game, and a guy like Matt Kuchar, for example, longtime veteran, well-known guy. He's 120th in points. Unless he gets inside the top 100 with three events to go, the Cooch, for the first time since probably in about 20 years, he will lose his PGA Tour card. Now, obviously, he'll get sponsors, exemptions, et cetera. Yeah, Nick Dunlap, for example, 144th. Nick is having a miserable year. If he had not won twice last year, he would, and he wouldn't even have Korn Ferry Tour status. He's played so poorly. So good for him. Still another year plus for his exemption. So that has saved Nick, but he needs to get to work. Lee Hodges, by the way, 116th with three tournaments to go, needs to get inside that top 100. And Trey Mullinax, guys, still playing on a major medical with three to go. He's 155th, and Trey needs to really, really start working hard, or he will only have Korn Ferry Tour status next year. He'll fall off the PGA Tour and only get to play when an opportunity should arise. And, guys, the fields are smaller. There's only 100 PGA Tour cards handed out. So the opportunities for these guys like Trey and Lee Hodges and people like that, they're drying up. It is more. It'll be more difficult in 2026 to play in PGA Tour events than it ever has been in the last 50 years. So these guys, they'll be struggling to continue playing on the PGA Tour. That's the way it's going now in professional golf.
All right, Doug, we're going to flip to golf to your picks, and then we're going to get you to tell us who Auburn's going to hire. But
of course,
that Boston College game was exciting.
Doug,
that was hard.
Current record was 16-14, Chase. So he's in the money. Notre Dame minus 28. He said take Notre Dame minus 28.5 versus Boston College. He said Boston College was terrible. Well, they were terrible, but it was 25-10. So my calculations, Chase, is that's 15. He needed 28.5, so that would be a loss. Yes. Yeah.
Tough game, guys. Yeah. Tough game. You know, that was a 12-10 game going into the fourth quarter. I was shocked.
Ole Miss. He said take Ole Miss minus a 13.5 versus the Gamecocks. He was right. That score was 30-14, so that would be a W. And then Auburn. Doug, if anybody does anything wrong, all right, if you got a grandkid or a son or something, they do something wrong, you should make them, for punishment, have to watch the Auburn-Kentucky game. That would be their punishment. You have to sit down and watch that entire game and write a report on it. He said, take Auburn minus a 10.5. He was believing on the quarterback change. Oh, gosh. Auburn.
Hey, where'd he come from?
Auburn got three, Doug, and Kentucky got 10. So,
yeah. First time, guys, since 19. Go ahead, Coach.
No, go ahead. Mine looks better. Go ahead.
Well, it was I mean, a couple of those games were shockers. First time since 1990 that an Auburn defense has given up 10 points or less and the team has lost the game. I mean, think about that. That was an absolute stinker.
And then the Georgia guy, Doug, he's running the end zone. Dad's got both hands in the air. He's going to finally get a blue plate. He can't wait for Monday. And the guy just gets shot on the 2-yard line, just falls.
On the one foot line. The guy said he's on the 1 foot line.
If anybody listens to our show, we have David Kindred. We love David with Bryant Bank. He was trying to help Dad out. He said it was a lock. Take Georgia Tech as a lock. If you would just bet against our show, you would be a millionaire.
We got dumb people on this show.
And you guys have told me, you know, years ago now, I said, hey, it's a lock. And both of you guys have said, don't say that.
Don't say it's a lock.
I know, Coach. I felt for you.
Millions and millions of dollars that people lost.
Yeah, but people won, too. People won. They won. So somebody lost and somebody won. That's what happens, I guess. Doug, why are we all of a sudden now fans? I mean, they're chanting, nana, nana, fire Hugh Freeze. Like, it's just ridiculous. They know they're probably going to let the guy go. Just let him walk off the field in peace. Why are we firing guys now with season still left? Can the guy not just coach out the schedule? We're just firing them left and right. Mike Shula got fired. This coordinators, head coaches. Why are we firing them now, Doug? Can we not wait till the end of the season?
Well, a couple of reasons. Number one is desperation mode because the way the game has gone. You got to win now or – it's now or never. And in Mike Shula's case, by the way, he held a rare press conference last week, and reporters surrounded him, and he was asked point blank, will you change the offense? And Mike Shula looked at them and said, I've been in the game way too long. I'm not going to change anything, and if you don't like what I'm doing, you can fire me. He said that last week before the game, and so that's ultimately what happened. again, getting back to why coaches, here's the deal, guys. These coaches are making their moves because coaches will be gobbled up. And remember, there's only one transfer portal period now, and the signing period is the same time in January, and these schools want coaches in place and staffs in place so they can take advantage of the portal and signing day. I mean, it's pretty crucial. Lane Kiffin, for example, if you're a Lane Kiffin fan and you want to hire him, Ole Miss may go deep into the playoffs. Ole Miss may make it to the championship game. So you wouldn't have a coach there for the portal period or the recruiting period. So that's why they're firing these coaches, because they got to get somebody in place. And Jimmy Sexton is running the show. I mean, you got to get with Jimmy Sexton and his crew going, listen, we need to negotiate now. And so that's the way these wheels are in motion. And, you know, and listen, Coach Saban is saying it best, guys, if you ever watch him on Game Day and Pat McAfee. As Coach Saban said eloquently last week, he said, LSU in Florida is not a better program right now than Ole Miss, mainly because he said at Ole Miss, he said the president, the AD, the board of trustees, the boosters are all on the same page at Ole Miss. Everybody's happy. At LSU in Florida, that's not the case. I agree with you, Coach. I think Lane is happy as can be. And as Coach Saban said, he's got a better situation at Ole Miss. So
he might go to LSU, but he's probably going to stay at home.
Well, I think John Sumrall, the guy at Tulane, even though they got blown out the other night by Texas San Antonio, he seems to be the hot name, 43 years old. And I think Auburn is putting themselves in position to maybe hire Sumrall, a guy from Huntsville, Alabama, coached at Troy, has a nice resume here early in his career. And I think Sumrall is the hot name. If Kiffin isn't going anywhere, Sumrall's name is the hot name, and I think Auburn is putting themselves in position because
Tulane just got beat. He's a hot name.
He's still a hot name. Yeah.
I would hire, and I know people. I'd hire James Franklin if I was Auburn. If I could.
Yeah, you know he's negotiating with Virginia Tech, and right now they're negotiating. what Penn State will pay him and what will be deducted from what Penn State owes him with what and will he get it? Will the school that hires him, like Virginia Tech, get a discount because Penn State's paying the big? So there's a money negotiation going on with James Franklin, Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah, but Virginia Tech better hurry up because somebody else will get him.
He's going to
the G Tech. Yeah, so Auburn's better job than Virginia Tech, I think. So I don't know.
Too cold up there.
Well, I think a Southeastern Conference job is better, yeah. John Summerall, by the way, is represented by Clint Dowdle, his agent, and Clint Dowdle works for Jimmy Sexton's agency. So he is, in other words, Jimmy Sexton can't have everybody. So he sends his younger guys out.
He's getting a cut of that.
Yeah, sure. So, but I thought that was interesting. I do think that Auburn is going to settle on a Summerall, maybe the guy from Memphis, Ryan Silverhead, maybe Glenn Schumann. You know, he's the defensive coordinator for Kirby at Georgia.
I said Georgia. Schumann's going to Florida.
Well, Florida wants an offensive coach. They want to bring back the years of Steve Spurrier.
They won't take Schumann,
then. No, they won't. And so, because the defense is pretty good at Florida, you know.
You better find out who these guys can bring as coordinators. That's more important than the head coach.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And that was kind of the downfall of Hugh Freeze. I mean, he had some nice coordinators, especially I think DJ Durkin was a nice DC. But offensively, he never had the right combination play caller, offensive coordinator, and himself. In fact, he had three different guys calling plays on different situations during games. It was just a chaotic situation for Auburn. And people don't realize that, what was going on offensively. Obviously, the quarterback struggle, offensive line is not very good. But Hugh never really could solidify who was calling the plays there. He didn't want to give it up. And that was the deal. And so it obviously led to his firing.
Yeah. All right, Doug. One thing I like about you, you always swing. You're 17-16, so
yeah,
you're still in the money.
This week. Yeah, we're hey, listen, we're going to go. We're going to start right at Auburn at Vandy. Vandy favored by 7. How about this, guys? Vandy, before the last month, they were an underdog in 51 consecutive SEC games. Now, they've been favorites 3 of the last 4 weeks, including this week. They're going for 2 in a row against Auburn, which is unheard of, right? Vandy still lots to play for, obviously. And we just mentioned it, Auburn quarterback struggles, the worst quarterback play in the Southeastern Conference, and offensive line play is really bad at Auburn. I mean, they're among the worst units, maybe arguably the worst offensive line in the conference. I think this is one you got to go with Vandy, give the points, and I think the Commodores get back on track. And obviously the tumultuous thing going on at Auburn isn't going to help those kids at all in Nashville.
All right, so you're saying take Vandy.
Yeah.
You're better defensively now. Auburn is. DJ's the head man.
-7.5.
Yeah, and Vandy's offense is obviously a lot better than Kentucky's.
Vandy looked bad against Texas.
Oh, Texas jumped on them early. They really did.
Vandy won the line, Barry.
Yeah, but that's misleading. Yeah. That's misleading. They scored like 30 seconds to go. They should have got that onside kick, though. That thing was squirting around.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. 3 or 4 of their guys had their hands on it.
Yeah.
That was an exciting finish.
All right.
Here we go. How about this? We're going to be 2-0, guys, after this. Stanford at North Carolina.
Yes.
ACC action. Have you been watching North Carolina lately?
Defensively,
they're really good. They hammered Syracuse last week, 27-10. They've solidified their quarterback play. Still not great. Stanford, by the way, is 114th in turnover margin on the negative side. They're among the worst teams in the country turning the ball over. I just think Stanford coming to North Carolina playing a very good, improving every week defense for North Carolina.
Very good.
Wow. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. And I think Carolina covers that 9. And Coach Belichick gets his second win in a row.
Who are they playing?
Stanford. This is not a basketball game. This is a football game.
My line's 9.5. So, all right.
Yeah, take it.
Write that down, Chase. All right, what's your last one?
Taking Vandy, taking North Carolina. Well, I was struggling with this one. There's some interesting games, but I got to go to the one in Tuscaloosa, guys. LSU, obviously, you know, with the coaching change, they come in with somewhat of a chaotic situation. But let's not, again, LSU's got really good players. And defensive front will give Alabama's offensive line troubles all night. They've given everybody fits, LSU's defensive front. On the back end, they do give up some big plays. We've seen that time and time again against Vandy, against Ole Miss. I think Alabama at home, after a week off, respite, getting guys healthy again, I just like Alabama at home. The crowd is going to be totally into it. And I don't know, these teams with the interim coach, Garrett Nussmeier's had a very, very topsy-turvy season. I mean, it's been – he turns the ball over a lot. I think this all lends to Alabama winning by double digits, a couple of touchdowns. And that would make me 3-0 this week, guys.
Boy, I think you're going to do it this time.
That would make you 3-0.
I'm getting Coach excited. I like that. I like that enthusiasm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3-0. all right. Sounds good. Doug, what? Tell us where they can – tell us about Casa de Campo or your – podcast, whatever you want to tell listeners.
Yeah, well, guys, hey, I'm looking forward to it, guys. The Old Gab Box podcast, you can catch it on YouTube. Bucky McMillan, the head coach of Texas A&M, they open tonight. He'll be on with me tomorrow. And Josh Booty, former LSU quarterback when Coach Saban was at LSU, he'll be on this week breaking down the LSU-Alabama game. Looking forward to that. And it's all brought to you guys by Casa de Campo. I need to get you down to the DR for a little golf. Casa de Campo. Check it out. Best golf vacay, best family vacay, CasaDeCampo.com.
Thank you, Doug.
Talk to you next week,
Doug. Congratulations.
Right. Let's tell them about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank, a bank that you can trust, a bank that you can bank online around the clock. They'll be darn sure your money is safe. Open up two different accounts, personal and business accounts. They'll know the neighborhood. They're your bank. They're the bank that you can trust. And I hope that you'll go by there and tell that Barry and I mentioned Bryant Bank and that you'll trade with them and give us credit for getting that done for you. So go by Bryant Bank and open up an account.
All right, we'll take this break. Vinegar Tip is next. Also, we got Tony Holm. We'll get to Tony. You guys stay tuned. You listen to Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Major heavy still on McFarland on the eastbound lanes. Now we have a collision right at Watermelon Road, and that's got things pretty stirred up. And now, actually, we had an earlier accident right at Academy Drive, which still has traffic very heavy. And moving on, Lurleen Wallace.
Association's virtual job fair, November 3rd through November 7th at broadcastersvirtualjobfair.com.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside Locker and Vinegar Tip for this Monday, brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. He's my agent. Let him become yours. Give Michael a call, 205-752-8500. He's a big believer in the vinegar. And if you switch your insurance over to Michael, he'll probably give you a bottle of vinegar. All right, what's the tip for this Monday?
Well, it's the time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I got some meat I'm going to give you to cook. I don't know how to cook. But vegetables and stuff, and you got to fix them right and cook them right. And so I need to give you a few tips on that. So it'll be a lot of food stuff. First of all, when you get those vegetables, you got to get rid of the bugs. And they got hidden bugs on vegetables. And so you gotta give them a short soak in water with a good dash of vinegar and salt. If you put salt and vinegar, really put it in there good. And I'm telling you something else. Vinegar, if you got, ain't got no money, vinegar is a great replacement for expensive fruit and vegetable washes. You know, they sell you these washes in the grocery store. You ain't got to buy them. Just get you some vinegar with your cold water, and your bugs will be gone. So that's a great, great tip, because everybody, all the ladies that listen to the show, we probably got two listening total. take care of your vegetables.
All right, there you go. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 752-8500. All right, we're going to get to Tony just 1 second. I don't think they looked at that play at home plate long enough, Dad and Chase. The Dodger guy, the catcher, he lifted his foot off a home plate. That should have been Toronto run and ball game. Toronto should have won the World Series. He lifted his foot up. And they didn't look at it, but like 20 seconds. I don't know, man. The Dodgers end up winning the World Series. I don't know why they're playing that thing on Saturday night, but anyway.
What a throw to home plate to get that guy out.
What a play. That's, I mean, they got bases loaded, one
plate.
Out.
What a throw to home plate. A great
but his foot ever. Came off the plate. I'm telling you. Telling you. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, gentlemen. I thought so too, Barry. Guys, I called at the beginning of the season, or when Auburn started losing, and I had mentioned to y'all that I thought that if he lost a couple of these SEC games, that he should win. If they lost them, I figured they'd blow him out, and they did. But again, guys, I'll have to ask you, and I'd agree with Tom. I've been saying it for a while. I don't know what Auburn saw in Hugh Freeze to hire him. He had a losing record in the conference while at Ole Miss. He got Ole Miss put on probation. He goes to Liberty. Yeah, he has some good years, but it's at Liberty. What am I missing? And the only thing I can draw a conclusion from is because he beat Alabama twice.
Yeah.
Why do you go out and get Jackson Arnold out of the portal? Why him? But is it possibly because he beat Alabama? Because he was benched, gentlemen. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, and I called last week when we talked about Gene Stallings and why he ended up leaving the university. Fellas, y'all said it earlier this morning. You have to let football people make football decisions. And until Auburn is going to have that happen, Texas is the same way. There is not going to be as successful as they want it to be. They could hire any coach. If that coach is not allowed to do it their way, they're not going to be able to gauge how good a coach can be. What we talked about, how many coaches have they gone through now since, I'd say since Chizik. I mean, it's, what is that, four?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very, to me, it's a tough hire. And I have all the respect in the world for John Summerall of Tulane, but what makes him different than Billy Napier?
You roll him up to the podium, are you going to be fired up about that if you're a big donor at Auburn?
I don't know. I mean, I know he'll say the right things, yeah. And he's coached well everywhere he's been. But, again, if you're not going to let football people make football decisions, it don't matter who they hire. And they've got to turn the program over, like Max said. They've got to turn the program over to people that know what they're doing. The guy that I guess is the CEO of Apple now, Tim Cook, he should have nothing to do with hiring a football coach. He should have no input on who they hire, what coach the coach brings in, what play they're going to call, what offense they're going to run. If you want to, hey, you want to talk about technology, call him up. But that's the issue that I see. And Coach Sanderson can tell you, I think it was an issue at Alabama for a very long time. Until Nick Saban got here. And I know it plagues Texas.
So where would you go if you were Auburn?
Well, I don't know. I would look at the cat from Louisville, Jeff Brohm. I think there's a lot of good coaches they can hire. I don't know if they'll get the biggest of the names because I do think there are better jobs open. I think at least four. I think where they line up in the pecking order. But I'll tell you this. If they do not allow them to coach and allow them to hire who they want, bring in players who they want, they are setting them up for failure. They're putting icing on a molded cake. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyway, I wonder because Bobby Petrino has coached his way out of that that Arkansas job. Arkansas could be a good – because, you know, a lot of Alabama fans will say, well, Lane Kiffin was a lazy recruiter. Like we talked about, like y'all talked about, it's not all about – now the NIL's around, you don't have to be a top-notch recruiter.
No, you got to be a good evaluator. What you
That's
gotta
exactly
be.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to bring in whoever fits what you want to do and make sure you don't miss on them. I mean, guys, I think I heard.
Just hire John Gruden. That's who you ought to hire.
At Auburn?
Well,
yeah.
You know, you may want to. Just like John Gruden, he should pull like the Nick saying, I'll come, but I'm not talking to any of those people. All right? So don't even come – knock on my door. Like, if you need me to speak somewhere, I'll go to a couple places. I ain't going on all these speaking tours. I'm going to come in there, and it would energize people, and maybe.
Well, let me ask y'all this, guys. Who did Nick Saban answer to at Alabama?
Nobody.
Exactly.
He asked questions when he got the job because Mal was brand new. But he got the money, and then he asked questions.
But they never told him no when he came in, facility-wise, all the things, all the analysts that he brought and hired. I mean, he changed college football with all the off-the-field people that they allowed him to hire. I ain't telling him how much they were spending on staff over there.
Zero doubt, Barry. Not only did he change college football, he changed the entire format of college football right now.
Yeah.
We don't have these playoffs if not for the 2011 rematch with LSU. We don't have the NIL and all this stuff had he not been number one or two in recruiting for almost 11 years straight, 12. That's not brought about. They were so afraid of college football becoming a regional sport, they decided they was going to do something about it, and it has affected college football. Yeah. There ain't no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, he changed it. For sure.
He absolutely did. And, well, guys, I don't know. Because here's something else. When you, like y'all talked about earlier, when you start getting these coaches, maybe from a smaller college like a Tulane, if you don't hire assistants away from major colleges and that head coaches guys still stay there, it's going to affect a lot of staffs. It'll affect Alabama. Whether it's Grubb, whether it's, it could be a plethora of people.
You got to have a guy that's got supreme confidence that comes in. I mean, I think James Fry, I know he didn't win big games, but Penn State was in the playoff last year. They were in the top five this year. They're one or two plays away from beating Oregon. He knows the SEC. I might look that direction too at those two. Yeah. I don't think I'd go higher than the guy at Tulane.
Guys, again, it all comes back to what we've said earlier. If they don't allow him to take control of the program, it don't matter. It don't matter who they are. It's going to be a constant battle and a struggle. They'll win games, but I don't guess it'll ever get them where they want. By the way, about tonight, guys, Alabama basketball, that kid that's dropped 40 on Alabama still there?
I don't know. Somebody asked me that the other day. I want to say he transferred to South Carolina.
He's not.
Oh,
there.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're a 32-point favorite.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, let me ask y'all something. Since we don't have a true five, is there such thing now as a stretch five? I mean, did it eliminate the four altogether? The way they play basketball?
Well, Cheryl's
not
kind of five.
Basketball now.
Well, Cheryl, that ain't no great five.
I mean,
he's not.
Well, no, he's not a great five.
I asked y'all the other day, did we have a true rim protector? And Barry, you agreed. You said no. Are y'all not worried about that a little bit?
Get somebody that's tall and athletic. Get him out of there.
Alabama, they just play a brand. They're going to outscore you. I mean, we can sit around and complain about how many points they give up, and Nate Oates can talk defense all they want. But when you play that fast, you're not going to be a great defensive team, but they're just going to outscore you. So if you, that's the way they do it. So you just have to, I mean, you can have a rim protector, but they're going to hit more threes than you are, and they're going to score more points. And it's going to be
right.
It's going to be a high-scoring game. So just that's the way they play. So we can talk defense all you want, but they don't want to be so good on defense when you play that fast. But the bottom line is to win, and they're winning.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good rest of the day.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
All right.
All right. I know Deb mentioned at the beginning of the show, obviously Brian Harden sponsors our Blue Plate special. I'm not going to get into all that. I just want to prayers out to he and his family. What a tragic deal that happened over the weekend. I know he talked with his brother, David, or text with him, and I don't know what the funeral arrangements will be, but Brian's been a great friend to Tide 100.9. I know he sponsors on three of these shows. He's done a great job out at Old Colony. So he'll be sorely missed. So
he sure will. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so the prayers go out to Brian Harden and his family, and we'll just leave it at that. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama Sports.